I want to bring a word to you this morning that I really believe God has given me. But I want to pray first. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I step back and I ask you, Holy Spirit of God, to step in and speak through me, Lord God, as I bring your word. May I share everything you would have me to say, nothing more, nothing less, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Today, I want to bring a word, and the name of my message is, It Is What It Is. It is what it is. And I want to tell you, I did research wondering who created this saying. And the truth is, I couldn't find out who originated saying it is what it is. The earliest I could find was back in 1949, where someone in some journal had written about something and they had said it is what it is. And then I believe there was a band in the 70s that had a song that had that in the song. And today you hear it all the time. It is what it is, right? I say it. Young people, do I say it? I say it quite a bit, but I want to tell you, different people probably have different reasons for why they say it. But can I tell you what I mean when I say it is what it is? When I say it is what it is, what I mean is, it is what it is, and no amount of worry can change it. So trust God. Trust God. John 16:33 says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So I want to ask you, when you are facing situations, circumstances in your life, the Bible says you're going to have many trials. You're going to have sorrows. So what should we do? Number one, if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, tell God about your problems. Tell God about your problems. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And if there is a word I'm hearing from old people, from middle-aged people, young people, and even children, is the word anxiety. Oh, I'm struggling with anxiety. And I know it's a very real problem in our world today. It's always been a problem, but I feel like it's even more intense today. But I hope that the words that God has given me to share with you today will help to set you free. You don't have to walk with anxiety. You can cast your cares on Him because He said so. I think we believe, well, we can cast some things on Him, but not everything. We would say we don't believe that, but what are our actions saying? When I was 10 years old, my dad took me fishing at his cousin's pond. My dad told his cousin, he said, I want to bring my little girl fishing. And his cousin said, bring her at, I'm going to say it was 5 o'clock in the evening. He said, bring her at 5 o'clock in the evening because that's when I normally feed all the fish in my pond. And he would throw out loaves of bread every day at 5 o'clock. Well, they didn't tell me that. But see, my cousin, I guess he was my cousin, my dad's cousin, be my second cousin, was setting me up for success. You get it? Because what he said is, bring the freshest loaf of bread you can get. And we made bread balls, and we put them on our cane poles on the hook. And when I cast my little line out into the water, I knew I was going to catch fish. I did not know about them feeding the fish every day at that time. But I just believed. My daddy says, you're going to catch fish today, baby girl. And I would cast that line out there, and it was no time, and I'd get a nibble. And before I know it, I would pull that puppy out. My poor dad, I almost knocked him into the pond off the little bridge, the dock, because one of the times I caught a turtle, because I think I invented fly fishing. I don't know what real fly fishing is, but when one would get on, it didn't stand a chance with me because I would jerk that puppy back. And when that time the turtle came up and hit Dad in the shoulder, he was like, oh, he almost went in. Can I tell you, I caught 30 fish that day. Woo! How many of y'all can say you caught 30 fish in one fishing trip? Well, you see, my father and my dad's cousin had set me up to win. Set me up that when I cast my line, I was going to be successful. And I want to tell you here today, people of God, God has set you up to win. He has set you up when you cast your cares. If you will believe like the faith of a child, if you will believe when you cast that care on Him, that He cares for you and He will take care of you. He'll take care of your situation. So if we're going to cast our care on God, let's talk for a minute about who is this God that we want to cast our care on. Is He somebody that we can trust? Is He somebody worthy that we can put our cares on? Well, let's look at that for just a minute. Psalm 18:1 says, beginning in verse 1, it says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise because I have been saved from my enemies. So we see, yes, we can trust God because He is our strength. He is our rock. He is our deliverer. We can talk to Him about our problems. In fact, His Word encourages us to. He says, cast your cares. Put them off on Him. His shoulders are big enough to handle whatever you are facing. Amen? What I love about the Word of God is the Word of God tells us how to live our lives. It doesn't leave us guessing. If you want to know how to live, young people, a successful, godly life, that's why I'm always telling you, get into the Word. Don't read it because that's what good little Christians do. Study it because it is your roadmap for life. Study it because it is the bread of life that will help you to stand strong when hard times come. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So He's telling us, don't be anxious. So if God's Word says don't be anxious to cast your cares, then that means we do not have to walk around feeling anxious. Oh, but Pastor Jan, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what the doctor said. You don't know what my checkbook looks like. I may not know all of those things, but what I do know is God is faithful. God is our healer. He is our strength. He is our rock. He is our protector. He is our provider. We can trust in Him. Hallelujah. So when we are facing difficult circumstances, hard times, what should we do? Tell God about your problems. And number two, focus on what God says about you and your problems. Focus on what God says about you and your problems. So how do we know what God says? We have to spend time in prayer and studying His Word because this becomes the foundation of what we believe. If all you get in the Word of God is what you get on Sundays, as great as that is, that's not going to carry you through. You need the Word of God on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We need the Word of God. Remember, it's the bread of life. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. How many of y'all plan to eat lunch today? Wow, some of y'all not going to eat? Are y'all just too tired to put your hands up? If you're going to eat lunch, you plan to eat lunch today, put your hand up high. All right, we'll wake you up. Thank you. Now let me ask you, if you, let's just say you choose to go to Sonny's Barbecue Restaurant on 484 and you eat the all-you-can-eat ribs, I shouldn't say that at 12 o'clock because y'all going to be going, ooh, I'm so hungry. But you eat all you can eat and you stuff yourself. You don't need to eat till next Sunday, do you? Y'all laugh because you're like, no, I'm probably going to eat about 8 o'clock tonight again because I'm going to be hungry again. But why do we feel like, oh, Pastor Tim's such a good preacher. I got the word from him on Sunday. I'm good till Wednesday night. No. If you have to eat 3 times a day, and some of y'all, I won't say teenagers, but some of y'all probably eat 5 times, 6 times a day. I know. I hear you mamas talking about how you have to pray for God to provide for the groceries. I get it. But y'all, if we have to physically eat several times a day, why would we think we only need the Word of God once or twice a week? If you want to be a strong young man or young woman of God, you want to be a strong man or woman of God, you want to be a strong girl or boy of God, you have to spend time daily with God in His Word and in prayer. Amen? Perry Noble said in his book, Overwhelmed, Daniel refused to allow his circumstances to shape his belief system, but rather allowed his belief system to help him overcome his circumstances. He allowed his belief system, young people, to help him overcome his circumstances. Now, if y'all have not read the story of Daniel, I'd encourage you this week, because you are going to plan to go home and partake of your spiritual bread and be in the Word. And if you're not already on a reading plan, why don't you read the book of Daniel? Start this week in Daniel. You see, Daniel was a young man of God. He had 3 friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were taken from their homeland and put in a land where they did not know anybody. But those young people, teenagers, already knew whom they believed in. They had already determined who they would serve. And when they faced opposition, and for those of you who know the story, Daniel ended up, because of his belief in God, because his willingness to seek God and pray, even though they made somebody out of jealousy, went to the king and got the king to make a declaration that for 30 days anybody caught praying would be thrown into the lion's den. This was the only way, guys, they could catch Daniel doing wrong. They tried to find in his life something where he was doing wrong, and they couldn't do it. They could not find, they couldn't catch him telling lies. They couldn't catch him doing anything that he should not be doing. And they thought, okay, the only way we can catch him is he's a young man of prayer. So when they made this decree, Daniel was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to keep praying, but nobody will know. I'll just pray in my mind to God and nobody will know. That's what he did, right? No? No. He didn't hide and pray. He continued to open up his windows and pray to God 3 times a day. Well, then they caught him, and they went and told the king, oh, king, did you not say anybody that is praying to anyone other than you for 30 days would be thrown in the lion's den? And the king said, oh, yes, I did say that, and it can't be changed. Well, Daniel was caught praying. The king was very upset, not at Daniel, but upset probably with himself because he had made that decree and he couldn't even change it because he valued Daniel and his strong ability to serve, his wisdom. So y'all know the story. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. They put a rock, they sealed the place where Daniel was at. And then the king went, he wouldn't take any refreshment, he wouldn't take entertainment that night. In fact, he didn't sleep all night because he was concerned about Daniel. He told Daniel before they closed the tomb, I hope that the God you serve will protect you. The next morning, early the next morning, the king ran to that place, and before they even opened it up, he hollered, Daniel, did your God protect you? And Daniel said, Almighty King, my God is an awesome God. Now, these are my words, but He protected me. Young people, men and women of God, when we trust God, the Bible said bad times are going to come, but when we trust Him, He will take care of us. We will face opposition. We will go through hard times, but we can trust God. We have to know God's truth to experience God's power in our lives. Amen? We are blessed because the day we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts, the seeds are planted in us of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those seeds are planted inside of us. It's up to us to cultivate those. We do that by the Word of God, studying the Word and applying the Word and prayer. Christ empowers us to walk with Him in every area of our lives as we spend time with Him. My mama always said, you become like those you spend time with. And the more time you spend with Jesus, the more you will become like Jesus. I read this saying, I'm not sure who said it, but it says, correct thinking leads to correct actions. Philippians 4:8 says, we need to think on whatever is true, pure, honest, just, and of good report, anything that is praiseworthy. That's what we are to think about. So we've got to guard our thoughts. Jeannie Mayo, a famous youth pastor, in fact, she's known as the world's youth pastor or America's youth pastor. She's still working with youth, and she's in her 70s. Don't ever think you're too old to work with young people. She's making a powerful impact in teenagers and young adults' lives, even in her 70s. But she said, the devil is the hurt whisperer. The devil will whisper hurtful things in your ear. He will whisper negative things in your ear. So you have got to guard those thoughts that the devil puts into your mind. We've got to guard our own self-talk. A friend of mine who was at Thrive last weekend, God really touched her, and she told me, she calls me Mama Jan. She said, Mama Jan, she said, a lady that was praying for me said to me, if you talk to all your friends the way you talk to yourself, you would not have a single friend. Whoa. Somebody needs to hear that today. If you talk to your friends the way you talk to yourself, you would not have a single friend. And God used that to wake her up, to recognize and realize she'd been talking negative, hateful, mean, ugly things to herself. Possibly things she heard as a teenager or as a child. And for sure, thoughts that the enemy had placed in her mind. We've got to guard what we listen to and even what we say to ourselves. So if you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, I don't like the way my nose is or my hair. If only I had this hair like her. Stop. I tell the young people all the time, don't play the blame game. I mean, not the blame game, the comparison game. Don't compare yourself to others. God created you amazingly and wonderfully. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I tell our youth that all the time. I just told them Wednesday night, and I've told you before, but I'm going to tell you again because it's worth repeating. I hated my red hair. I hated my white skin and my freckles when I was a kid. I was made fun of. I was told hateful, ugly things about myself, not by my parents, but by other children and other teenagers and even a few adults. And I thought I'd been cursed by God. Why do I have to look like this? God, why did you give me red hair? But you see, God knew what He was doing, giving me this red hair. My husband can find me anywhere in a crowd. At Thrive last weekend, and I got to give you this praise report. So many people would come up to me and say, hey, how are you? I saw your hair. I knew that was you. Boy, this past weekend, I don't think I've ever been more glad for my red hair. Because of this red hair, a lady remembered exactly who I was. She came up to me, and she looked me in my eyes, and she said, do you remember me? Now, had she not looked me right in my eyes, and she'd just passed me by, to be honest, I probably would not have remembered her. She had blonde hair, and there are a lot of blonde-haired people there. But when she looked me in my eyes and said that, I said, yes, ma'am, I do. She said, you prayed for me a couple of years ago at Thrive, and I was in a wheelchair. Did you hear what I said? She walked up to me. Somebody ought to get excited in this place. She said, you prayed for me a couple of years ago. She said, last year I came with a walker. And she was a young lady. I'm guessing maybe 38 to 42 years of age, somewhere in there. She said, last year I came with a walker. But she said, look at me. This year, I'm walking. Praise God. It's not because I'm somebody. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God is our healer. And I believe that God will do what He says He will do. And when I prayed for her, I believed God was going to heal her. Now, I just want to be honest with you. That day, I had such faith that what God was going to heal her. And I told her, I said, my friend, do you believe God's going to heal you? She said, yes, I do. I said, get up out of your wheelchair and walk. She said, I'm going to be honest with you. I could get up, but I can't walk. And I don't want to stand up because I don't want everybody to be like, oh, the lady in the wheelchair is standing. And I appreciated her being honest with me. She said, I can stand up. I just cannot walk. But this year, she walked right up to me. No, not like, oh, but she just walked right up to me and said, do you remember me? So, y'all, God gave me this red hair for a reason. He uses it wherever I go. And I thank God for it. So if you are struggling with your hair, your nose, your weight, whatever it is, just be okay with who you are. Instead of putting yourself down, instead of negative self-talk, why don't you look in the mirror and say, thank you, Jesus, you made me. You made me in your image, and I am good. Some of you need to look in the mirror and say, look what the Lord has done. It's okay to love yourself. In fact, you should love yourself. Just don't be in love with yourself. All right. We've got to remember who God says we are. How do we know who God says we are? Well, let's look at some scripture to see who He says we are. According to Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. According to 1 Corinthians 3:16, you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells within you. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the moment you do that, His Spirit takes residence inside you. And that Spirit of God is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So that means we can be more than conquerors because of Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We are new creations the moment we accept Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. And Psalm 139:13-14 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Can y'all just say that with me out loud? I am. Now I want you to say it like you really believe it. That's a little better. Y'all still need some work, but you'll get there. We don't need to focus on how we feel about our problems, but focus on what God says about our problems and about us. Life-giving power and hope are unleashed when we put our focus on God instead of our problems. When you put your focus on your problem, your faith drains. Your hope is lost. You begin to worry. What you worry about most is what you trust God with the least. Worrying shows that you're doubting God. I've been there. I was there yesterday. Just being honest. When you are facing difficult circumstances, what should you do? Tell God about your problem. Focus on what God says about you and your problems. And trust. Number three, trust God with your problems. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths, or He will make your paths straight. So we have to trust in God with everything. Not just part of our lives, but every part of our lives. That's the key. Trusting God instead of worrying. It's our choice. So how do we learn to trust God? We take the truth that we've learned, what God says about us and our problems, and we live it out. We simply apply His Word to our lives. And as Nike says, we just do it. Nancy Grisham said in her book, Thriving, Trusting God for Life to the Fullest, we all face challenges, but how we react will determine whether or not we experience God's greatness or endure limits of our own smallness. God knows how to turn our challenges into defining moments of destiny. We need to look at our disappointments as, God, I'm disappointed, but what appointment are you setting up for me? Many times our disappointments are really His appointment. We don't see the big picture. God sees the overall picture. And He knows exactly what's coming. And sometimes God tells us no about something. And we're like, oh, but I really wanted that. And I really thought that was just going to be so great. And it was going to make my life perfect. But God says, no, 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 no. Not because He's mad at you. Not because He doesn't love you. It's because He does love you. And He wants to set you up for something even greater for your life. It is what it is doesn't give us an excuse to live by our feelings. How many of you know our feelings are fickle? If you allow your emotions and feelings to rule your heart, then you will be easily offended and an easy target for Satan to attack you. We must choose to live by God's truth about our problems and who He says we are. Now, a few moments ago, I said that just yesterday I was there. I'm flesh and blood, just like anybody else. And last night, I told Pastor Tim, I said, I've so struggled to put this message together. And I just feel like I don't even have the ability to put a message together anymore. In fact, I don't even want to speak tomorrow. And I knew his answer. But I said, will you speak tomorrow? And he said, no. God's called you to do it. I knew that's what he was going to say. Thanks, babe. But I had asked him to read my notes. I almost always have him read my notes when I'm going to preach on a Sunday. Because he's my covering, and I just want to make sure that I'm not somehow putting something out there that's not exactly the way God wants it. And so he read my notes, and the good side is he keeps me straight. The bad side is he can throw it in my face, and he did, but I'm thankful for it. When I told him, I just don't feel like preaching tomorrow. I feel like I just don't even have the ability to do it anymore. And he says, I know the answer. I said, you do? He said, yeah, it's in your notes. He said, if you allow your emotions and your feelings to rule your heart, then you will be an easy target for Satan himself to attack you. Well, I'm grateful for my husband who will lovingly put me in my place. I've told people, I said, I think sometimes people think I wear the pants in the family, but I'm here to tell you, oh, no, I don't. He has no problem in telling me right and wrong, but he does it in such a loving way that it's not a problem to submit to him. And I'm so grateful for my best friend, my husband, my pastor. So when we walk with God in obedience, applying His Word, God makes His power to live life as an overcomer available to each one of us. But it doesn't come just by wanting it. You can't just want to be powerful in God. You have to go after it. Make it a priority. Put loving God and His Word first in your life. Trusting God. That's the only way to live, in my opinion. The only choices we have is to trust God and have peace, or to worry and be miserable. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have the peace of God than worry. And some of you may be thinking, oh, but your pastor is, what do you have to worry about? Ooh, I could tell you a lot, but I'm not going to bore you with all the details. The enemy comes after us just like he comes after you. In fact, there's a target on pastors' backs, or maybe right here on their forehead, a big target that says, come after me, devil. But you know what? We have to believe who God says we are. We have to believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. When you are facing difficult circumstances, what should you do? Tell God about it. Focus on what God says about you and your problems, and trust God with your problems. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So when a situation comes up in your life, and it will, Jesus said, you're going to have troubles, you're going to have hard times. But don't fear, because I've overcome the world. In other words, anything that we will ever face, Jesus has already faced it, and he was victorious. So that means if he faced it and he was victorious and his spirit lives inside of us, we can overcome whatever we face. It is what it is. So why worry? Trust God. I'm going to ask our worship band to get in place. And I want y'all to play the I Am Who You Say I Am. As a reminder to us today that we are who God says we are. We are chosen. We are not forsaken. Maybe some of you are sitting there today and you'd go, but I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. If you have not, I want to encourage you. The Bible says we've all sinned and we all fall short of God's glory. But it also says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And I want to encourage you today, if you've not made that decision to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, I want to encourage you to do that today. That is the best and wisest decision you will ever make. Maybe you would say, I've done that, but I've not really been living out the Christian life the way God wants me to. I really want to be sold out to Jesus. I really want to believe that God is my provider, my protector, my rock, my strength, my wisdom, that he will help me. And you want to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. Would everybody stand to your feet? Whatever it is that you need from God today, whether you need to commit your life to Christ, whether you need to recommit your life to God, or whether you need to ask God to help you to trust him with the situation you're walking through, that you need to cast it on him, I want to make this altar open for you. Pastor, if you would come, and if some of our prayer team would come forward, and if you would come and pray with one of these prayer team members. They will pray the prayer of faith with you. Let them know if you're coming for salvation. So as they begin to sing, whatever you need prayer for, would you come? Thank you, Jesus.